to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen. Counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio
Countdown. Have you had enough of President Obama's attacks on free enterprise? His own key supporters have. Democrat Mayor Cory Booker of New Jersey.
I have to say, from a very personal level, I'm not about to sit here and indict private equity.
Former Congressman Harold Ford Jr., Democrat from Tennessee.
Private equity is not a bad thing. Matter of fact, private equity is a good thing in many, many instances.
Former Obama economic advisor and auto czar, Stephen Ratner, a leading Democrat.
And I don't think there's anything Bain Capital did that they need to be embarrassed about.
If you look at the totality of Bain Capital's record, they've done a lot to support businesses, to grow businesses.
Even Obama's own supporters have had enough.
That's the latest ad from Mitt Romney using some of Mr. Obama's own supporters to fight back against the president's attack on his years with Bain Capital. Presidential race is where we get started this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Doug Steffen here, starting out with a conversation Andrea Mitchell had with Romney advisor Eric Fernstrom about the latest ad attacking Mitt Romney. Connected to Bain Capital.
The campaign is not backing off of its attacks, the Obama campaign, against Mitt Romney's work at Bain Capital, doubling down with this new video today.
When Bain Capital boss and AMPAD come in, that was a whole different story.
I understand if you got to cut back, layoffs. I mean, that's part of the business. We've accepted that over the years when we were there. But you don't come in and just take everything everybody's got and destroy a business.
Eric, your reaction to this attack, this Bain attack on Bain Capital and on the AMPED, the AMPED company?
Well, thanks, Andrea. Thank you for having me. I got to tell you, these attacks are so old, they have cobwebs. We saw this attack rolled out by some of Mitt Romney's Republican opponents during the primary, and it didn't work. Before that, we saw these negative attacks on Bain being used against Governor Romney when he ran for governor in Massachusetts in 2002, and it didn't work. Look, this election is going to be about jobs in the economy, but I agree with Mayor Booker, who said that these attacks against Bain Capital and free enterprise are nauseating. I think people deserve better from the president. After all, he promised that if he didn't get this economy turned around in 3.5 years, he'd be a one-term president, and Mitt Romney is here to collect.
At the same time, David Axelrod was on the program earlier, as you probably saw, and this was his position on why they keep hammering away on Bain. They think, obviously, that it's good politics, particularly across the Midwest and the Rust Belt, but he says there's also substance here.
Governor Romney offers his business experience as his principal and all, really his chief credential for running for office. He never talks about his years as Massachusetts governor, and I think for good reason, because they weren't stellar years. This is his argument. I was a businessman. I can lead the economy. So it behooves us to ask, exactly what did you do? And some of these cases are disturbing, and they deserve to be looked at. He takes credit for everything that happened after he left that he considers positive and tries to walk away from this. He can't walk away from this.
I want to give you a chance to respond.
Thank you. I'd say two things. The first is that during Mitt Romney's period of leadership at Bain Capital, they invested in or helped start up about 100 companies. Some of those companies were struggling, and some of them couldn't be saved. That's the nature of our free enterprise system. With respect to Mitt Romney's period of time as the governor of Massachusetts, in that 4 years as governor, he created, on a net basis, somewhere between 30,000 and 40,000 jobs. That is more than President Obama has created for the entire nation. And at Bain Capital, of course, the mission there was to create value. That's how our free enterprise system works. But when you create value, when you add value, as they did in trying to improve companies, you also add employment. And a rough back-of-the-envelope estimate of how many jobs they created is well in excess of 100,000. So whether you're talking about Mitt Romney's experience at Bain Capital or his experience as governor of Massachusetts, he's created more jobs on a net basis than Barack Obama has for the entire country.
Coming up, religion comes into both sides of the presidential race next on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
My car's a sauna. What's with this air conditioning?
You need an AC Pro.
Know any?
Yeah, you.
You got me confused with somebody else.
You're a pro with new do-it-yourself AC Pro, the 10-minute cold air solution.
But I...
You know where to find the hood?
That thing up front?
Exactly. AC Pro's easy, fast, and saves you money. You'll have your car's AC blowing cold air in minutes, guaranteed.
I did it. It's like a freezer in here.
Be a pro with new AC Pro, the 10-minute cold air solution.
Got a sweater?
I'm Colonel Dave Clark, Executive Director of the Defense Department's 60th Anniversary of the Korean War Commemoration Committee. On Korean War Armistice Day, July 27th at 9 a.m., we are inviting Korean War veterans, their families and friends, to visit the Arlington National Cemetery Amphitheater for a wreath-laying ceremony and commemorative event. It's open to the public and will feature senior representatives from across the Department of Defense and the United States government. For more information, visit koreanwar.defense.gov.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea. Most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Class, if you had over 1,000 hotels, plus hundreds of discounts on dining, shopping, entertainment, and more, what do you get?
America's Best Value Inn. When you join our free value club with instant rewards, you get a 15% room discount, upgrade, and late checkout when available. Now that adds up to comfort and a great value, doesn't it? Sign up at americasbestvalueinn.com.
With value right in our name, you know you're getting a great deal.
Class dismissed.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Today's interest rates are the lowest that we've seen in generations. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.99%. APR 4.22%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. Here are some of the reasons why. We close many of our loans in 30 days or less, and we provide you with industry-leading online apps designed to guide you through the loan process with speed and ease. Again, today's amazingly low rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.22%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com and find out for yourself why we're engineered to amaze.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Talk Radio In Review, Doug Steffen, the presidential race, here our host Morris Kelly and Vanessa Herron talking about Reverend Jeremiah Wright and the arguments over the president's faith becoming issues in the campaign. Good God, not again.
What's this about Jeremiah Wright? Let's talk about Jeremiah Wright. Is he going to make a comeback? He's going to make a return engagement appearance?
I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
Actually, I would like to hear from Jeremiah Wright. If only because, and this leads into the next story, we can have this new debate on whether Barack Obama is some radical Christian.
But Roland Martin has already made a statement about this, and he says if we do that, if Reverend Wright is on the table for us to use as a judgment or as a barometer for Obama's ability to lead the country, then guess what else is on the table?
Mormonism?
Possibly. We have a clip. Can we play
that? Wait, before you play.
Let's hear the other clip.
The Mormonism.
My faith is the faith of my fathers. I will be true to them and to my beliefs.
And I believe that in 1978 God changed his mind about black people.
Black people!
When I heard about the change being made, I heard it on the radio and I pulled over and literally went.
Black people!
My dad marched with Martin Luther King.
Black people!
My mom was a tireless crusader for civil rights.
Black people!
And I had no question in my mind that African Americans and blacks generally would have every right and every benefit in the hereafter.
I believe.
Now, let me just say, we didn't create that. It actually speaks to this debate if we're going to talk about Jeremiah Wright and his supposed influence on Barack Obama and how he formulates his views of America and his views on faith and how those things should be meshed together, then it would be then fair to talk about Mitt Romney in the context of Mormonism. And to be fair, you have to specifically delve into the subject of the revelation of 1978, where black people were then allowed, or we were, it was the epiphany that we're allowed to hold a place in the church. We weren't evil, or whatever the epiphany was.
Subhuman.
Right.
Right. No souls.
So how is it that we're supposed to talk about Jeremiah Wright and not talk about that? And not only that, why is it you're going to resurrect a failed policy that didn't win you the election in 2008? See, the fear-mongering of the Republicans in 2008 was, if you elect Barack Obama, we're going to go to hell in a handbasket. He's a closet radical Christian, then he became a closet radical Muslim, and he's a closet radical socialist, all those things. If you elect this man, our country is going to hell. Now, stock market 4,000 up, and job unemployment going down, the country is better off than where it was before. But they still want you to believe that Jeremiah Wright is the undoing of this country. Did I miss something?
No, I don't. I think you got it. That's about the gist of it.
Talk our Steve Scott with Jody Cantor from the New York Times about Romney's Mormon faith and how that's also starting to become an issue.
Jody, how important to Mitt Romney is his Mormon faith?
Well, those who are close to him in the church say it's extremely important, that it's one of his key formative influences.
We hear the word devout bantered about sometimes when we talk about religion. So-and-so is a devout Catholic. Is Mitt Romney a devout Mormon?
Absolutely. He has really spent his life adhering to the rules of the Mormon Church. And I'd say beyond just, you know, observing the sort of daily details of religious observance, he's somebody whose worldview has really been shaped by the church. He was a missionary, which he counts among his life's most important experiences. His attitude towards things like rules and behavior seem very influenced by the church. You know, and what's also interesting is that prayer is a really big part of his life. He prays on political decisions, business decisions, really asks God for guidance, for strength, for courage.
Has he become more or less public about his faith since his rise in national politics?
Well, in a way, less public. I don't know that his faith was terribly public beforehand, but he is not. It's funny because there's some politicians who love to talk about religion on the campaign trail, right? I mean, Rick Santorum, Mike Huckabee, very openly religious guys. Romney is the opposite. He wants to keep his faith private, in part because we know that people still sometimes say very negative things about Mormonism.
Will Mitt Romney's faith be a campaign issue in 2012? I mean, some of us are old enough to remember when it was controversy when a Catholic, John Kennedy, was elected president.
You know, we don't know the answer yet. We haven't seen a huge controversy over Romney's faith the way we saw over Barack Obama and Jeremiah Wright in 2008. What we do hear is that, you know, voters will say sort of impolitic things when they're questioned. You know, do you have doubts about voting for a Mormon? You know, then again, we don't know whether that's actually what people will vote on in November. And by the way, some of the voters who say that they don't like Mormons are the same voters who say that they don't like African Americans.
Up next, let's move on to the NATO summit in Chicago with all the protesters. That's next year on the countdown.
And now another CentOS Game Changer with sports broadcaster Aaron Andrews.
I'm standing outside a popular Gainesville burger joint. They've got fresh, juicy patties and golden brown onion rings. But they've had unhappy fans until recently. So, ma'am,
Just what caused the turnaround?
Well, we loved their burgers, but until now their bathrooms were, how should I put it? Ooh.
They were dirty, huh?
Oh, yeah. We stopped coming here. Then we saw the Cintas truck and gave it another try.
Yep. They called Cintas for a game changer to deep clean these restrooms and to stock supplies like hand soap and paper towels. Was Cintas the winning play for you?
Yep. They won us back.
And now at this restaurant, every wall and every stall shines. For more, let's go back up to the booth.
Thanks, Aaron. Clean restroom supplies are one of many expert services Cintas can tackle for your business. Don't lose business to dirty restrooms. Call 1-800-CINTAS-6 or visit Cintas.com/radio and tell them to bring in the team. With the white truck.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Talk radio and talk television focused on what you're talking about, and that includes the NATO summit. Mark Smith from the AP talked to host David Kuharsky about Afghanistan dominating the talks at the NATO summit.
Afghanistan is the main subject here, David, and that's the alliance members are talking about this 31-month countdown, if you will, to the end of the combat mission for NATO and its partners in Afghanistan. But then, of course, the big question is what happens next. And, you know, they'll still be fighting there, and the Afghan government still will have a fight on its hands with the Taliban. So today's session, in addition to reviewing the plans for the drawdown, is also about what goes on next and how to pay for and equip the Afghan army and keep government functioning, and also about the presidential elections, which are coming up again in 2014. So a lot to talk about for these summit leaders.
Have we gotten any indication from any of these visiting countries? Have we gotten any indication of whether or not they're up to helping pay for this this effort, this longstanding effort to keep Afghanistan's military bolstered?
Yeah, it's a very good question. There have been some indications that commitments will be forthcoming, but there are not going to be any, we're told, specifically made here. It's estimated that it could cost something in the neighborhood of $4 billion a year to keep Afghan forces up as a going concern, and, you know, obviously equipment and materiel and ammunition and that sort of stuff. The Afghan government is expected to pay about $500 million toward that, obviously out of their own money, but the rest of it's going to have to be made up somehow. The question is whether the allies, who are, of course, cash-strapped at the moment, especially the Europeans with their debt crisis and everything else, are going to want to contribute. Certainly it is not going to be a surprise that the American taxpayer is going to be on the hook for much of that money.
Here's host Charlie Brennan with reporter Bernie Tafoya. They talk about the protests on the streets of Chicago.
We're hearing reports, Bernie, of police brutality. Are you seeing anything like that at this time?
Hearing reports or claims? Right now, we don't know.
Claims, I guess, is what I'm reading, yeah.
Yeah, the police say that they were acting within their rights. As a matter of fact, we talked to one of the Occupy Chicago spokespeople this morning, and she called what happened yesterday disgusting, that she carried some people in her car to medics, and that the backseat of her car is full of blood from people's heads. And now I asked her a question about a video that Occupy Chicago had actually put out called Disarm the Police. And it sounds a little more ominous than it really is. It's really a clever title in which a lawyer tells Occupy Chicago protesters, not this week, but in weeks past,
what would happen if you escalate with police, such as if you raise a hand to police, you can be charged with assault. You do not even have to touch an officer for that to happen. He basically went through a primer on what assault and battery is, and yesterday police were telling protesters to go west on Cermak Road away from a permit place where the NATO summit was being held. The group of protesters decided they wanted to still go east and kept pushing forward, in effect, touching police officers and incurring some of the batons on the heads and the bodies and having to go to the hospital or being arrested. There were a number of arrests yesterday. And so we asked this spokesperson for Occupy Chicago whether or not it's justified for protesters to break the law, in effect, to do that. And she said, well, it was just disgusting what police did, and she kind of reiterated what she said. And then we pressed her on answering the question and said, and she said she did not want to answer the question about whether it is okay for protesters to break the law in the name of what their cause is, in effect, saying they want NATO shut down, they want the NATO war machine, as they put it, shut down. As a matter of fact, today they're gathering in a park in the west of downtown Chicago, planning to march to the Boeing Corporation, which has its offices closed today, and they plan to party in the streets, they say, as a victory celebration, because the because the Boeing offices are closed today. They view that as a victory that they shut down the war machine. Those are the words they're using today.
Up next, back to the Martin Zimmerman case here on the Talk Radio Review.
Sometimes the best stories of triumph run a strange course, as is the case with DMX. Following the rapper's release from the Arizona State Jail in July 2011, the multi-platinum rapper and Rough Riders legend eagerly sought to finish his newest album, slated for release in 2012. The first thing the 40-year-old rapper, born Earl Simmons, did after his jail stint ended was called his wife and kids so he could see them as soon as possible. Later that night, DMX was back in the studio. DMX was locked up for almost a year because of probation violations, but apparently he never stopped thinking about the projects waiting for him. He launched his comeback with a performance at the 2011 BET Hip Hop Awards. After he announced himself with his signature growl and bark to elicit a standing ovation, DMX and Swizz Beatz rolled right into Rough Riders Anthem and Party Up. More recently, X debuted I Don't Dance at Sevilla Nightclub in Long Beach, California, featuring rap newcomer MGK. To learn more, visit www.bigjakemusic.com.
Nothing is more important than your family security. But ask yourself, if you die today, would your family be able to keep their home? Will your children get a college education? If the needle points towards no, you need to protect your family with life insurance. You can make up for your lost income, fund your child's education, pay a mortgage, taxes, and more. Learn about life insurance. Get your consumer protection guide free from the Center for Sound Consumer Advice. Still the only consumer advocacy referral service in America, where since 2004, there has never been a fee or charge of any kind to consumers. And best of all, never ever one complaint. Call today for your free life insurance guide. 800-819-6545. That's 800-819-6545. Call today for your free life insurance guide. Again, that's 800-819-6545.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Halfway through the hour, Doug Steffen, welcome back in. Our attention now goes to the Martin Zimmerman case in Florida. Here host Carl Benson and Mike Dunn talk about the information released this week about Mr. Zimmerman's injuries and how that impacts the case.
Well, the information that's coming out are, number one, Mr. Zimmerman, George Zimmerman, had all sorts of scar marks or blood marks in the back of his head.
His nose is broken.
And his nose is broken.
And the other thing is, apparently, Trayvon Martin, and you mentioned the THC in his system, which to me is a non-factor.
Yeah, it's a big
really
so
is.
What.
I mean, okay, so he smoked dope within 30 days or whatever. Who cares?
That doesn't make people go nuts.
It really doesn't. Mm-hmm. But Trayvon Martin's knuckles were bloodied up or cut up, which would indicate that he was throwing punches, whereas Zimmerman's hands were clean, i.e., it does not appear that Zimmerman started throwing punches. It appears that Trayvon Martin was throwing punches. You know, the bottom line is, an unarmed person can kill somebody, obviously. I read somewhere fairly recently that over 700 times a year in this country, people are killed in regular old-fashioned fistfights. Now, normally, that's a brutal beating. It's the result of repeated pummeling, and people die. In fact, you know, just coincidentally, last week we were talking about hazing, if you mm-hmm. recall, and that poor drum major down in Florida died of soft tissue bleeding, basically
sure.
contusions, bruises, but he died of a hemorrhaging soft tissue. And that's what kills people in fistfights, when it's the result of a brutal, prolonged beating, number one, or number two, especially if you're surprised, if you get that so-called sucker punch and your head rotates really quickly and it cuts capillaries mm-hmm. in your neck and you bleed out. And that's the one where it catches even ambulance drivers off guard, because a guy would actually be talking. He'll be sitting there talking, saying, oh, man, that hurts. And, wow, I can't believe that guy hit me. And he seems fine. And all of a sudden, eyes roll back and he dies. And what's happening is it's not apparent to people, but the guy's actually bleeding to death. So, 700 times a year means, you know, it happens a couple times a day in this country. So you can be killed by somebody's bare hands, okay? And that's just a fact.
But even if this case doesn't get dismissed up front,
uh-huh.
I can't see a jury convicted. There's reasonable doubt every place.
Well, there really is, because nobody knows what happened in the
encounter. Nobody knows.
And the only forensic evidence indicates that Martin was the aggressor. It really was.
Yeah.
And that it's that simple.
Host Gary Jeff Walker talking about the recently released information about Zimmerman and how we really need to wait before we convict or absolve him of killing Mr. Martin.
Two police reports written tonight that George Zimmerman shot Trayvon Martin said that Zimmerman had a bloody face and nose. The reports also note that two witnesses' accounts appear to back up George's version of what happened when they describe a man on his back with another person wearing a hoodie straddling him and throwing punches MMA style. Police report states that Trayvon Martin's father told an investigator after listening to 911 tapes that the captured man's voice frantically calling for help that it was not his son calling for help. Of course, Tracy Martin now says that's not true. There have been all kinds of distortions of that 911 tape. Remember all those people at the NBC outlets getting fired or doctoring it on purpose to make it sound like George Zimmerman offered to the 911 dispatcher that Trayvon Martin was, what was the actual context of the tape? What aired on TV, people got fired over this, and they should have been, was he looks like he's up to no good, he's black. When actually the 911 dispatcher asked him, does he look black? Does he look Hispanic? Does he look white? And George Zimmerman offered, he looks black. But they put that together to make it sound like he was targeting Trayvon Martin simply because of the color of his skin. As I said at the outset of this, when the riots were going on and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson were pontificating about the roving gang of white men in this country going after black men, young black men, to kill them, like it was some epidemic, when we all know that the real epidemic of violence in the black community is black-on-black violence. I said at the time, let's wait and see before we acquit George Zimmerman or absolve him of any responsibility in the cause of Trayvon Martin's death. Tragic, again, that the young man died. But let's not convict George Zimmerman either until all the evidence comes out. And people with agendas on both sides have tried to skew this evidence one way or the other, but the evidence is mounting that George Zimmerman may have had a self-defense claim, according to the Stand Your Ground laws in Florida. He, in fact, may not, and maybe should not, have been charged with second-degree murder when the prosecution had this evidence all along, and finally it was released this past week. Maybe we'll find out that George Zimmerman is not guilty of anything but maybe bad judgment.
Up next, we'll talk to some Business Talk Radio folks about the Facebook IPO. That's next on the Countdown.
Are you struggling each month to make ends meet? Could an extra $1,000 help you out today? Would restructuring your credit card debt into a lower, more manageable payment make life easier? Well, there is hope. A national consumer advocacy network comprised of lenders and professional credit advisors is ready to help you. Just text the word FREE to 20300 for instant information on programs that can help you. Text the word FREE to 20300 right now. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Flo.
Yeah?
Now, let's wrap up this leaf blowing, and then we can finish pruning the shrubs up front.
Already done. Hey, one question.
Yeah?
Just hypothetically, if the shrubs were pruned to look like cartoon animals, that would be a good thing, right? Hypothetically?
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. Low down payments, great discounts, and flexible billing options. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
Look, it's Lord Horsey.
They say he has instant access to a wealth of entertainment. A most appropriate suitor.
He is of Netflix. Lavishes $8 a month on thousands of TV episodes and movies.
I heard he watches them over the internet.
Tish posh, it's the 1700s. Internet doesn't exist yet.
Oh, do hush, child.
Instantly watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on all kinds of devices for only $8 a month with Netflix. Start your free trial today. See terms of use.
Ever turn on your TV to find the dish hopper lets you skip through all the ads?
Ever find an entire show is passed without interruption because the dish hopper lets you automatically skip the ads? Well, if you're tired of skipping ads, turn to radio, where ads are alive and well.
Watch commercial-free TV with the Hopper, the new whole home HD DVR from Dish. Call 1-800-WATCH-TV to get Dish today. Only available for playback of select HD primetime shows and must be enabled by customer. Programming sold separately. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Hey, it's freezing back here.
Ugh. Yeah, close the window.
Yeah, no.
Why?
Sorry.
Oh, girl, what you need is Digestive Advantage Gas Defense.
It's a supplement.
Digestive Advantage from Schiff. Its dual-action formula acts quickly to stop gas before it starts when taken with a meal.
I take it every day.
It's good for you.
And with continued use, the healthy probiotic gives you long-term digestive support.
Road trip, and we won't need a convertible.
Works now and later. That's the Digestive Advantage.
Did you know you could earn a transfer discount just by switching your motorcycle policy over to GEICO? And if you already insure your car with GEICO, you can even get a multi-policy discount. I've always wondered what it's like to ride a motorcycle, to ride my steel horse across the land, fighting crime alongside a tall brunette, Francesca. Sorry, my mind went to a strange place there. Where was I? All the GEICO motorcycle discounts. Right.
Call GEICO or visit GEICO.com today to see how much our discounts could save you.
A lot has changed from when Nola Osh started school until the time she finished.
When I received my diploma, it was a big to-do.
At 95 years young, Nola became the world's oldest college graduate.
If we don't concentrate on our ages, we go ahead and do things as if we were younger.
So no matter how old you are, live life and pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
The hot hits in talk radio. We turn our attention now to the Facebook IPO. Host Tommy Tucker talks to CBS Money Watch's Jill Schlesinger about the problems NASDAQ had on Friday as Facebook prepared to go public.
So tell me what happened with the IPO and Facebook. I mean, we all knew it was coming, right? We all knew that there was a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement, and people put orders in and then they were canceled. And tell me what the mess up was.
Well, it looks like this is a huge technology problem that affected traders throughout the day. I heard from a lot of people who said they couldn't figure out whether orders were canceled or filled, and essentially that meant that traders were flying blind. They literally did not know whether they owned the shares or not. Now, NASDAQ stock market has said that they acknowledged it. They said, yes, this was our problem. We have we found problems for the system that cancels orders. They actually were handwriting orders out and sending them that way. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So this is real egg on the face of the NASDAQ, and certainly all these exchanges fight for big IPOs like this, right? They make money. But NASDAQ has something even bigger that's looming, which is some investors are saying they are going to sue NASDAQ for losses due to these trading errors.
Well, first off, you have to appreciate the irony in an IPO on NASDAQ of Facebook that they were handwriting orders, don't
exactly.
you?
Exactly. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah,
I mean, I tell you that I was handwriting orders on the New York Stock Exchange in 1987. That was de rigueur. But by the way, there were literally only 50 million shares trading in a day when we were doing that. And now we have, in just this one stock, 570 million shares trading in the first day of trading for Facebook only. So, I mean, it's clear that the systems are not keeping pace with the markets and the speed and the volume, and that's really what NASDAQ has to answer to.
And I would think in terms of owning and buying and selling something for which the price is rising and falling, knowing whether or not you owed it is, and when you owed it is pretty important, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
This is just crazy making. I mean, you can't be running a big hedge fund and you can't be running a big mutual fund and not know whether or not you own stock. So this is going to be something that will probably haunt NASDAQ for a while. It's not unique, by the way, because BATS, which is a global trading system, they bungled their own IPO. And even just in 2010, we had a flash crash on the New York Stock Exchange, which is still unexplained to this day.
So you're talking billions of dollars, right?
Yep.
And to go back and try to sort this out, you just guess at how much people maybe lost or gained?
Well, there's actually an electronic trail, so this is a little bit easier. So they can say, here I pressed the order, here is where it went. You know, at 11:38, I pushed cancel my order, and the order was never canceled. As a result, I was the schnook who actually bought shares at 45, and I didn't want those shares at 45. I had canceled my order. So again, NASDAQ's going to have to make this right, and and it's going to be a mess.
So looking forward to Facebook now, is the anticipation that this stock is going to go up? And if so, why? Or if it's going to fall, what would the rationale for that be?
Well, right now it's falling pretty precipitously, I might add. Facebook is down over 13% this morning. We're at $33 a share. So if you did buy those $45 Facebook shares, you are hurting really severely.
So
right
you hope
now.
Your cancellation went through if you put
indeed.
One in.
Indeed.
Here's host John Thompson talking to financial analyst Tim Laugren about how the Facebook IPO didn't come up quite to the expectations.
When we look at IPOs in general, there's so much hype in an IPO like Facebook. It's being called the biggest tech IPO in the history of trading. Something like this, is it doomed to failure in that it can never reach the expectations that we anticipate?
Absolutely not. You just have to look back at another big hoopla IPO. In 2004, Google went public. You know, really successful company at that time, and even though expectations were high, they were able to meet those expectations. So there are exceptions to the rule of these hoopla IPOs crashing and burning.
Is the Google example what investors are banking on here? And by that is, there was a lot of talk around the Apple IPO that first came out years ago, and of course the Microsoft with Bill Gates. At least at that point in time, you had a working model that said, okay, the consumer is actually going to be buying a product. With Google and with Facebook, really, no one's necessarily buying anything except for the possibility of ads, and there's some question as to whether Facebook might lend itself to that type of environment. Is that a big question mark in your mind?
Without a doubt, 85% of Facebook's revenue is derived from ads. And so the only way they can continue growing is getting more money from ads. Given that they're in the communication business, I think a lot of consumers will be irritated if Facebook all of a sudden started putting big ads on your iPhones when you're trying to just access Facebook.
When you look at the whole picture of the models of some of these businesses that are set up, whether it be a Twitter or whether it be Facebook and things like that, is there something in an investor's mind that they're looking for to tell them that, yes, this is not only where we are today, obviously knows Facebook is where we are today, but this is where we're going to be tomorrow?
Yeah, I think that's a big point. Right now, at least, Facebook has been generating $1 billion in net income last fiscal year. And so, yeah, they're a young company. They were founded in 2004, but $1 billion in net income, and they're still just a couple years old. It's very impressive.
You know, Facebook has been, and it's specifically founder Mark Zuckerberg, 28-year-old multi-billionaire, but we won't be bitter about that. But nonetheless, he is the type of person who's never necessarily been money-driven. He's always tried to keep his goal in mind for Facebook and make the experience as friendly as possible for the user. Now that he's a publicly traded company, is he going to try to change Wall Street, or is Wall Street going to change him?
That's the big unanswered question. Right now he's going to have something like 55.8% of the voting stock in Facebook after the IPO. So, yeah, we're going to find out who's going to win that battle. Certainly Wall Street's going to try to put some pressure to, you know, continue to getting, driving, revenue and income up.
Here's how Chip Franklin talking about Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg getting married the day after his company went public.
These divorce lawyers are all writing about Priscilla Chen and Mark Zuckerberg's wedding. And they're saying this was, I can just hear the guys, the timing of the wedding the day after the company's initial public offering potentially proved particularly advantageous, California divorce lawyers said on Sunday. God, you're scum! Maybe they got married because they love each other. They've been together all this time, and maybe he wanted to have this all happen in the same weekend. But according to these attorneys, these scum-sucking bloodsuckers, if they assigned a prenup, they would have based the prenup on his current value of the Facebook stock. So if their marriage dissolved in the future, the wedding's timing would help establish the value of their assets in the event of any future divorce battle. Just die. You are scum. And I can hear people going, oh, Chip, you're so naive. You don't understand the possible legal implications. I do understand them. You know? There's no way in the world I would have asked my wife to sign a prenup. I wouldn't get married if I didn't think that was a possibility, and I would roll the dice on that. I just think, you know, these guys, yeah. Sully, you probably heard the story too, Sully, right? I mean,
Well, so let me ask you this: what if she's the one who wanted the prenup, so there would be no
thought of impropriety that she was going after him after his money? What if she's the one who said, look,
I would kiss her and I'd say that's sweet, but I'm not going to do it.
Up next, a pair of hosts reflect on the passing of the Bee Gees' Robin Gibb. That's up next here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain. Not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkydd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed. Or your money back.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
So lots of conversation about the death of Robin Gibb. He was an icon, as the Bee Gees are. Iconoclastic. Here's host Dean Lane talking to Chris Richard, music critic for the Washington Post, about the legacy of Robin Gibb.
What will his legacy be?
Well, you know, the Bee Gees started off as a sibling group in England, and they were a pop group with his brother Robin, with his brothers Maurice and Barry. They were kind of one of the most successful songwriting teams to come out of the UK, right behind John Lennon and Paul McCartney. This is a group that reached the number one spot in the US 9 times over the course of the 70s. They won 6 Grammy Awards, and they were inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1997. But we're really going to remember Robin Gibb of the Bee Gees, you know, for Saturday Night Fever. This is an album that really defined the disco era.
Before Saturday Night Fever, they were troubled, though. Some people in the early days thought they sounded like the Beatles.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they had this sort of pop thing going on. But in 1974, under the advice of Ahmet Ergun, the very famous Atlantic Records mogul, they began working on a new kind of sound. And, you know, throughout the mid-70s, they began developing this sort of disco, blue-eyed soul thing, and that became what they were known for.
Tragedy followed this family. Maurice died in 2003. Andy Gibb, at the age of 30, died in 1988. And then Robert Gibb himself had to nurse his health. He became a vegan. What was the curse of this family as well?
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. It looks like Barry is the only one left of the musical brothers in the family. We are at a point now where we're losing a lot of voices from the disco era. We had Donna Summer pass away last week. So a lot of the defining voices of the disco era have left us, and it's a time when people are kind of reflecting on that era.
As we reflect back on the disco era, I think that people forget that disco in its early days was like rap. A lot of the older adults said that's really not that type of difficult music that we're used to, and they thought it was kind of bubblegumish.
Yes, that's true. But I think if you listen to the falsetto harmonies that the Bee Gees did, there's something a lot more complex going on. I think anybody who's tried to sing one of these songs at karaoke is quickly educated on how talented they were at this sort of sibling harmony. They had this very beautiful high register thing going on, which sounded really had a lot of impact over, like, you know, the deep bass and drums that define disco as an instrumental sound. Vocally, they really brought something extra to it, and it really made them one of the most defining groups of the era.
You can't think of the Bee Gees without thinking of John Travolta.
Yes, that's exactly right. Saturday Night Fever is just one of those soundtracks. Up until Whitney Houston's Bodyguard, it was the highest-selling soundtrack in history, and it just defines the time. 1977, you know, you think of that soundtrack, and you think of the sound of the Bee Gees.
Host Bob Miller here with another host named Rob Callen. They talk about Robin Gibb passing away.
Robin Gibb has now left us at the age of, what, 62, Ron?
62, and we knew it was coming. Known for his distinctive kind of warbly voice, but very talented part of the Brothers Gibb, and, you know, they got into the disco thing, and things blew up, and they were so huge for, you know, until the backlash started, and then they started writing for other groups, and then they had their comeback in 97, got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So what you're saying is that, because I thought they kind of faded. When they first came out, I remember people saying they were trying to sound like the Beatles, which I never thought they were. But there were people that said, oh, they're just, you know, doing the Beatles. And then they kind of went away for a while, and then they came back, and the whole Saturday Night Live thing was just kind of a rebirth, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, they, you know, they had their big hits in the late 60s, To Love Somebody and Words. And then they kind of faded. Then they, in 1970, Bob, they had Lonely Days and How Can You Mend a Broken Heart.
Yeah.
And after that, though, they had some squabbling. They broke up for a while, got back together, and Barry Gibb wrote Jive Talkin', which became a huge hit, which, you know, then turned into, can we, Robert Stigwood saying to the band, can you write a couple of songs for a movie, called Saturday Night Fever? And they wrote, you know, Night Fever and, Stayin' Alive and How Deep Is Your Love? And then, you know, they just had like five or six more huge hits. They had a little brother they wrote some songs for, Andy Gibb. I mean, they had like seven number one songs in a row or something like that. Some incredible run in 1978, 79.
But, I mean, they've had a lot of tragedy, haven't they?
It's been a tragic existence. Maurice, the twin brother of Robin, died at the age of 53 because he had an intestinal problem and then the surgery went south. Andy, of course, died at the age of 30 because of a heart problem due to drug use. And, you know, now Robin dies of liver and colon cancer just the age of 62. I guess it's a good thing for all of us in our 50s that, hey, get that colonoscopy, Bob. I know you had one, but it's been a while.
No, I got 3 years to go.
I guess when you think about Robin, you just think of that distinctive voice and that song, I Started a Joke, which I think is the best song he ever sang.
Yeah.
All right, so we got lots of things in our review today, and you can get more details on all of them at DougStephan.com.